Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service to the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on marriage right after this. You know, marriage is a state-licensed business. It's a three-party limited general partnership. It's a partnership between you, your spouse, and the state. And like any other state-licensed enterprise, it's regulated. It's regulated and controlled by the welfare department, your Department of Family Services, your family court. And the best part about all of this is that you don't have any input into or say-so over the marriage, divorce, dissolution, custody, alimony, child support, protective custody, or restraining orders. You get to pay for all of that, but you don't get any input into it, and if you don't pay for it, you go to jail. Now, this marriage thing is the most important and expensive contract that you can get involved in. It's more binding, and it's more expensive than your military enlistment or your home mortgage. Then I'll bet you know a whole lot less about it than you do your military obligation or your house payments. Now, two-thirds of all marriages in this country end in divorce, so whether you're a husband or a wife, you do have rights, privileges, and immunities. You've got law to advance to protect or defend against any breach of this marriage contract. You know, that's why I contend that you ought to understand the terms and conditions of this contract before you marry, and you ought to write that contract yourself instead of letting somebody else, some bureaucrat in the state, write it for you. So whether you're married or not, why don't you write for my free general law CD package and let me share some vital information with you about this law and this marriage agreement. Just call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. It's easy to remember. And that CD package is a four-hour commentary on the law school. And it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and it's free. That's the best part. It's free of charge. Again, that webpage is georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send your email request, or you can call us direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about marriage, and particularly about the marriage license. We've been talking about connecting the dots with Social Security and birth certificates and marriage license and who owns your child after you pass your seed through the fire to Mueller. Well, Jim Maddox was the Attorney General of Texas back in the 1980s. Jim Maddox. And one of my students, you know, people come to school here and they sit here around the table, and when I tell them these things, sometimes they look at you like you're suffering from the terminal stupids or you're mork from ork or that you're out of touch with reality. And so this student said to me, he said, this can't be true. Because, he reasoned, if this was true, everybody would know about it. Excuse me. Isn't that what deception's all about? I mean, if everybody knew it, well then, you know, it wouldn't be a secret. If everybody knew and understood the Federal Reserve or checks and money, then we'd still have gold and silver coin, wouldn't we? No, I disagree. I think that there's lots of secrets out there. I think that there's lots of ignorance out there. I know that, for my part, I don't know everything. I've been lied to in the past. I've been deceived. I've believed lies. It happened to me, and so I kind of figured it probably happened to you once or twice. I'll bet you once or twice in your life you were deceived. I remember the first time I got deceived, it was over Santa Claus coming down the chimney. I believed that. Honest to God, I thought that sucker was coming down our 6-inch stovepipe. I did have reservations, even at age 4 or 5. You know, I looked at this big guy down at the Brizard store, and I marveled that he could squeeze down a six-inch stovepipe. How in the world could he do that? They were talking about chimneys, you know, and I asked my granny, I said, where's our chimney? And she pointed to it. She said, that's our chimney right there, that 6-inch stovepipe. Our problem was we had an oil heater, and the thing was on 24 hours a day. So, oh, my God, when Santa Claus comes down the chimney through the stovepipe, he's got to get through the damper. I couldn't figure out how he's going to get around that damper and then down into the fire, and then he'd have to come out through the door, and it's locked from the outside. You know, so even when I was 4 years old, I had my doubts. But I believed it because Granny told me. And I would believe what my granny told me. And, you know, when your government tells you something, when your El Presidente stands up in front of the microphone and says, I'm here to protect the American people, I just hope to God he doesn't protect me. I'm not opposed to him protecting all of you people out there. I just want him to get the hell out of my life. Leave me alone. I've had enough of this government that's here to protect and serve. I've had all the protection that I can stand. I just can't stand no more. Well, anyway, he couldn't believe this because he just beyond his comprehension. So he went down to the Attorney General of Texas. He left school here, And he went to Texas, which is where he was from, and he went down to Austin, which is where he wasn't from, which was quite a little journey from Dallas, which is where he was from, and he journeyed to the state capitol in Austin, and he didn't go alone. He took a bunch of people with him. He tried to get in to see the attorney general. He wouldn't let him in. That's normal. I mean, you know, just because you want to go visit George Bush doesn't mean that George is available for conversation this afternoon, or the governor of Texas, or hell, for that matter, the governor of Vermont. You know, these guys, they see themselves as being important people. And so the student of mine staged himself strategically out in the parking lot. He got the license number of Jim Maddox's car, and then he went out to Jim Maddox's car, and he stood out there from 4:30 on, and he didn't go alone either. He had a bunch of witnesses with him. And so this affidavit that I've got here, I've got the student's affidavit. I'm going to count the signatures here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 affidavits, 18 signatures on this affidavit. Call them affidavits where you're from. And then here's what it says. It says, in this affidavit, we the undersigned do hereby affirm that we're knowledgeable and able to testify to the following. On Monday, May the 19th, 1986, this question was put to Mr. Jim Maddox, Attorney General of the state of Texas. Quote, is it true that the state of Texas owns our children? Unquote. Did you get that question, children? All right, I'm going to get it again. Listen up, pay attention. Here's the question. Is it true that the state of Texas owns our children? Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words. Is it true the state of Texas owns our children? Mr. Maddox responded, quote, yes, it is true. And not only your children, but you too. Got that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. The question is 10 words, and the answer is 12 words. This exchange took place in the Attorney General's office parking area at approximately 5:30 p.m. The affiance hereby affirm that the foregoing is true and accurate. Further, affiance saith not. 18 people signed it, and the notary public is Gary Paul Prentice, whose commission expired 6/27/89. All right, so there's the affidavit. Does the state of Texas own our children? And the Attorney General said, you bet, and not only your children, but we own you too. Now, how did the Attorney General know that? And how did the state of Texas get to own these parents and their children? Well, didn't these parents also have birth certificates? And didn't their mommies and daddies have birth certificates? I mean, boys and girls, you've been the chattel property of the state of Texas or California, Washington, and Oregon for several generations now. So in the last program I mentioned to you, I said, you know, we used to have, when I was a kid, the Department of Unemployment. That's what they called it. It was the Unemployment Department. Well, that was a negative-sounding term, and so they upgraded that to the Employment Department, unemployment to employment. Then they upgraded that to Job Service, and up in the state of Washington, they upgraded it, too. And now they identify this as the Department, let's see if I remember the name, of some kind of ownership. I'll think of the name here in a second. Where the state, you know, owns you as a chattel, you know, just like owning a cow, a pig, or a dog. And you last time in the last program, I pointed this out. I said, you know, you work for the state until you die, but then the state never loses its feudal serfs. It's always got new feudal serfs because it's got your children. Everybody keeps passing their seed through the fire to Moloch. Of course, it's a crime. Of course, God told you not to do it. Of course, he warned you about this. But you know, you people don't listen. And then you wonder why social lady comes out and snatches your kids. Well, my God, you know, you signed an agreement. You agreed to it. And so there's the story on Jim Maddox over there. I thought I'd share that with you a little bit. This, the marriage license is pretty important, you know, and there's a reason for a license. And when you look up this word license, it says in Bouvier's dictionary, it says that a license is permission to do something that's otherwise illegal, unlawful, a tort, or a trespass. Illegal, unlawful, a tort, or trespass. So you go get a license so that you can do something that's illegal, unlawful, a tort, or trespass. When you got married, why did you go get a license? What illegality did you intend to engage in? What was it that was illegal, unlawful, a tort, or trespass that you wanted to engage in for which you went to the state of Texas and got a marriage license? But once the license was issued, now you're ready. It's lawful. Now you can go out and you can violate these laws. You can commit these torts and trespasses. Isn't that just special? Okay. Well, here's what you wanted to do. You wanted to marry some woman outside of your race. You white guys wanted to marry a black woman, and you black guys wanted to marry a white woman, or one of the two of you wanted to marry an Oriental woman, or a Hawaiian woman, or some Hawaiian woman wanted to marry a Chinese man. You wanted to practice miscegenation. You wanted to marry outside of your race. That's the purpose for getting a marriage license. There isn't any other. Yeah, that's true. Now, whose law does that violate? Well, it violates the law of God. I'm not talking about Baal, or Allah, or Buddha, or Shinto or somebody else. I'm talking about the God of Abraham. Just this one guy, the dumbbell, the dumb God, the stupid God, the God that doesn't know whether his hind end is bored or punched, the one we have to constantly fix his mistakes because he's so damn dumb. That God, that's the one I'm talking about. Well, he came up with some laws in which he barred us. He told us plainly, he said, don't you do that. Thou shalt not. Let me start off here. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, he said, when the Eternal your God shall bring you into the land where you go in to possess it, and when you have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you, and when the Eternal your God shall deliver them before you, and you shall smite them and utterly destroy them. That's called genocide. God, this guy ain't kind and gentle. You shall make no covenants with them. That's no treaties. And you shall show no mercy to them. Hey, you talk about kind and gentle. That's what George Bush said. We need a kinder and gentler foreign policy and a kinder and gentler America. Okay, well, speak for yourself, because this sweet Jesus over here ain't the same guy that you've been hearing about. So I thought I'd share this with you. And I think he was ticked off at these seven groups of people over here, and so he told the Israelites, kill them all. And that's called genocide. Now, you know that's against interstate compacts, and it's against international law. And 55 countries signed up, and the United Nations is opposed to it, and the United States is against it. And see, here's another one of these mistakes that our God made, and we got to fix it for him. Boy, I bet you he's just up there, just smiling from ear to ear, that Dianne Feinstein and Bobby Kennedy and Jack Kennedy and Bill Clinton and all these politicians got together and fixed his mistake for him. Verse 3 said, neither shall you make marriages with them. He said, your daughter you shall not give unto his son, and his daughter shall you not take unto your son, for they will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. You know, other gods, you know, like Florida and New York and New Jersey. So will the anger of the Eternal be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. That's Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 4. I was watching Ken Hovind the other day. Now, he's a hell of a nice guy, and I like him. Love him like a brother. And he was on his tapes. You know, he's got these tapes up here on evolution. I recommend them highly. You should call, you know, just go to the internet. Just get on the line. Kent Hovind, I think it's probably, I'll tell you what it is. It's drdino.com. Yeah, drdino.com. Costs $100. You'll love it. Anyway, on his tapes, he was talking about this thing of interracial marriage. I don't know exactly what that had to do with evolution, but it came up. And he said he looked in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, couldn't find any place in the Bible that said that you shouldn't marry outside of your race. He couldn't find it. And I've been meaning to write him a letter, but then I don't have any duty to protect a fool from his folly, and besides that, he's a Baptist. I love him like a brother. I ain't trying to save him, though. Although, he comes on those tapes, and he's trying to save everybody, but I ain't never heard him come on the air and say, I want to save George Gordon. Now, I'll tell you a quick story here. I was in jail one time some years back, and one of my students was here in class, and he was a Baptist from Oregon, Baptist policeman. Can you believe that? A policeman coming to this law school, for crying out loud. And I'm in jail, you know, but that's all right. I'm not a preacher. I'm a plumber. So I'm a plumber in jail, but I teach law school, and this policeman from Oregon is here with his wife, and there's other students here, but this policeman's a religious guy, and he goes to church over here at the local Baptist church, and that's what this Kent Hovind guy is, a Baptist, and he's selling Baptist theology. And they said, is there anybody you need to pray for? And so this student of mine, this policeman from Oregon, said, well, do you take prayers for people in jail? And they said, oh, yay, brother, we do. We pray for people in jail. And it's okay. Well, George Gordon's in jail, and I'd like to offer some prayers for George Gordon in jail. And the preacher down here said, there'll be no prayers in this church for those Gordons. So I knew right away the Baptists ain't going to pray for George Gordon. But I never asked them to pray for me anyway, because I always figured, you know, if I couldn't pray for myself, I probably didn't need them. Besides that, God told me one time, he said, you're going to cry out to me in that day, Gordon, because of this king you set over you, and I ain't going to hear you. So I listened to him. I said, well, it won't do me any good to sit here and cry and wail and bitch and moan to God, because he already told me, Gordon, I ain't listening to that crap. So I quit right there, and I said, well, okay, I got to figure out another solution. There is another solution here. So anyway, Kent Hovind, you know, he said, I can't find any place in the Bible. Well, I just told you. It's Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 4, and I'm a crummy plumber. I ain't been to cemetery yet. I'm seminary. Don't have any letters after my name, but I can fit pipes together. By God, I don't have a degree from college, but I can put two pipes together. I can thread them, too. But there's some other places in the Bible that tell you not to marry outside of your race. Did you know that? In fact, let me count them up here. Here, 10 places. Now, there could be 15 or 20, and I ain't smart enough to find the rest of them, but by God, I can find 10. 10. And then I can go to my law dictionary over here, and I can find license. License. What's that for? Now, people get licenses because they want to break the law. Whose law did they want to break? Well, you want to break the law of God. For instance, when Missouri was incorporated as a state in 1820, the first statute at large says, in the state of Missouri, we will follow the common law of England unless it's altered, reformed, amended, or abolished. Children, smell the coffee. The only purpose for the legislature to sit is to abolish, amend, repeal, or change the law of God. They don't have any other function. They're there to fix all the mistakes that God made. Thank God for the legislature. I don't know what we would do if we didn't have a legislature to fix all the mistakes that our dumb God made when he gave us the Bible and he gave us the law. Makes me kind of wonder how come we don't join the Muslims. They don't say that their God is dumb. I've never heard a Muslim say that they've got to go to some legislature over here and repeal the Quran because their God Allah made some mistakes. Never heard a Buddhist complaining about Buddha screwing up and we got to go fix it. Now, just here in the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, boy, we're just out here real busy. And that's why we've got marriage licenses. Our God made a mistake. And so the legislature came in here, gave us marriage licenses to fix the mistake. Now listen to some of these mistakes. In Ezra chapter 10, in verse 1, it says, now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. Wept very sore. I would construe that to mean they were kind of sad. And somebody by the name of Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have transgressed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. This guy comes up and he says, hey, listen, we've been marrying these black women over here, and this is a great transgression against our God. How the hell did he know it was a transgression? Had he read Deuteronomy 7? And he said, yeah, but there's a little hope here. Maybe we can recover from this mistake that we made. See, they didn't think that God had made a mistake. They thought maybe they'd made a mistake by marrying these strange wives. Verse 3 says, now therefore let us make a covenant. Let's make a contract with our God to put away all of these strange wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. What law? Not the law of the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, or Holland, or Belgium, or, you know, all of those countries have marriage licenses, and they license people to practice miscegenation. And all of you people who have marriage licenses, and shucks, you people are already. I mean, you can go out and marry strange wives. You got permission from the state. Oh, but you say you didn't marry a strange wife? Well, then excuse me. If you got a marriage license and you didn't marry a black woman, or if you're a black woman and you didn't marry a white man, or if you're a Chinaman and you didn't marry a Hawaiian, excuse me, why did you get a license? Well, just in case. Well, okay, well, then you were ready just in case. You were licensed, bonded, and insured. Now, miscegenation here in the United States only occurs in 1% of marriages, and so it's not very widespread. It's not something that you should get real excited about overnight and want to get some kind of constitutional amendment passed, but it's a violation of the law, and 1% of the people of this country practice it, and 99% of the people condone it. I just thought I'd come along and say to you as a reporter, by the way, excuse me, but did you know that's a violation of the law? It violates the law of this dumb God, you know, the stupid God, the God that makes mistakes all the time, doesn't know what he's doing, and we have to fix him. But I just thought I'd share with you that he told you don't do that. And I also want to point out that this guy goes ballistic on us every once in a while. And he tells you kind of plainly, and he takes it real personal, too. He tells you kind of plainly that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I don't change. And then he says, here's what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to lean on you. Then I'm going to punish you 7 times more for your sins. You remember that story? So I just thought I'd report that to you. You know, I'm not here to tell you what to do or how to do it. I just thought I'd share with you the fact that there's 10 places here in the Scripture, 10, that our good Baptist friend, Dr. Hovind, can't find. So I'm going to show you, I'm going to connect these dots for you. This is why you got a license, whether you knew it or not. This was the purpose for the license. Except for this miscegenation, you didn't need a license. I'm married. I practiced agreement with penetration. I got a wife. I don't have a marriage license. I've got children without birth certificates. Now he went on to say, arise, for this matter belongs to you. We will also be with you. Be of good courage and do it. Then Ezra arose. And he made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they would do according to this word. And they swore. And Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have transgressed and you have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now, boys and girls, we've got enough problems. I mean, we've got this war in Iraq, which is totally unauthorized under the war statutes of the scripture. We've got Sabbath breaking, and we've got sodomy. We've got abortion. We've got a national debt. We've got a $43 trillion unfunded government obligation. We can't pay our bills. We're in hock up over our eyebrows. We're on the verge of a national recession or depression. I mean, troops, we got plenty of problems. And then we've added this trespass on top of it. It would seem like to me that we got enough working against us without giving the old man a finger on top of it. Just something to think about. Verse 14, he says, now let our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at the appointed times, and with them the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Do you know there was a time when this God, I mean the God of Abraham, I'm not talking about Allah and Buddha now and Jesus and these other sweet gods out here, I'm talking about this God. I mean the God that isn't kind and gentle. I mean the God that's meaner than a junkyard dog, the one I'm telling you about here. The one that has fierce wrath, who says, I'm going to lean on you jerks, and I'm going to punish you about seven times more for your sins. That's the guy right there. That's the one I'm telling you about. All right, now listen up. And they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. And among the sons of the priests there were found they that had taken strange wives. I mean, hell, they had clergymen over here. I'm not surprised that clergymen today approve of, practice, and encourage and advise you to practice miscegenation. Hell, they were doing it back in ancient times. Why shouldn't they do it today? But again, just because the preacher is over here telling you that it's okay for you to violate the law of God, it's good public policy for you to practice sin, I just thought I'd come along as a crummy plumber and say, boys and girls, I don't know of any exceptions to this rule, but it looks like to me that there's a punishment, a penalty for every crime. Punishment and a penalty for every crime. And boys and girls, when social lady comes out and snatches your kid, that's not a blessing, that's a punishment. That's a curse. And then when you get a divorce and this judge over here lays this alimony and child support on you, Bob, that's not a blessing, that's a curse. And it came from the marriage license and the birth certificate. Came from, you know, your own voluntary compliance with this criminal activity. Now, you didn't need a license to marry, you know, Jane, but you decided that that's what you wanted to do, so you did it, and now you got public school, and you got income tax, and you got Jane over here says, well, I've had enough of this, I'm going to divorce you. She wants alimony and child support, and she wants custody of the kids. Bob, do you hear that? That's not a blessing. That's a curse. And all these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. Now, over here in Ezra chapter 9, when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands, and yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. Hey, did you get that? Hey, your preachers out there are chief in the trespass, telling you that it's legal and lawful. I can't find any place in the Bible that would tell you not to do that. So, okay, let me come along and tell you. There's 10 places that tell you not to do that. Always remember that there's this crummy plumber, the old general contractor, and the old businessman out here says, hey, wait a minute, kids, that ain't going to fly. That airplane ain't going to fly. Let me give you a reminder here before we take off any further that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. 67. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Again, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, or call the law school at 417-273-4967. All right, I'm not going to bore you to tears here by reading all these scriptures to you, but you can go to Ezra chapter 9, Ezra chapter 10, and Nehemiah chapter 13. And Deuteronomy chapter 7. As I say down at the Blue Room, read them and weep. Read them and weep. Now, we're connecting a lot of dots here. Looking down my list, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 dots connected out of 42. Let's connect one more dot. Now, there's an old-timey marriage law in the Bible called the duty of the husband's brother. It's kind of a wild, off-the-wall law that has to do with inheritance. It's an inheritance law. And there are a lot of inheritance statutes in the Bible. So inheritance is integrated with this thing called marriage. And there's some statutes in the Bible that require us to practice the inheritance law along with this law called the duty of the husband's brother. So, you know, you're not going to open the Bible to the middle and find, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to join this man and woman in holy matrimony, but you are going to find in Deuteronomy 25, verse 5, this marriage law. So let's understand what it says. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel, and he will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him, and if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off of his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him that has his shoe loosed. All right, kind of an odd statute. I've been in this business for a long time, and in 20 years I've only seen that come up one time. It's not a very common practice. It's not something that comes up very commonly. But what if this guy said, okay, well, I'll go ahead and I'll do that. You know, it's my sister-in-law. And here's this duty of the husband's brother to raise up seed unto my brother so that his name be not blotted out in Israel. I've got that problem here right now. And I've got a female who's going to be the heiress, just like Queen Elizabeth. And so you see Queen Elizabeth actually carrying out this statute a little bit differently, but carrying it out. It's an inheritance statute. She's a female carrying the family name from one generation to the next. And she did this under the statute in Numbers chapter 36. So the duty of the husband's brother is one statute, and Numbers 36, which is another inheritance statute, which deals with females inheriting in Israel. Before we get to Queen Elizabeth, let me just share with you, in chapter 36 of Numbers, the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Micah, the son of Manasseh, and the families of the sons of Joseph came near and spake before Moses, and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, the Eternal commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Eternal, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph has said well. You know, this is what we call in law today a constitutional confrontation. We got a problem for which we need a policy decision. You saw it in cases like Yoder versus Wisconsin or Rosa Parks versus Alabama. That's why we have a Supreme Court. That's why this process of appeal is available. By the way, this appellate process, you know, comes from the Mosaic Law. It comes from Moses. Well, to make a long story short, there were six daughters over here, and under the terms of the contract negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, this guy came up with a lot of chattel property, died without a firstborn son. So the legal problem is brought up in Numbers chapter 27. two chapters, Numbers 27 and Numbers 36. Numbers 36 tells us how they executed the judgment which was given for the legal problem, the policy decision which came down in Numbers 27. And that is, can a female inherit in Israel? Boys and girls, this is the only society on planet Earth in which females can inherit. So now, you remember, girls, you hit the glass ceiling, you know, and offering offerings and by fire, you know, in the holy place. And you hit the glass ceiling, you know, when it came to equality with men, and that's why you're out here competing with men. Okay, now here's another example of how God comes in with an equalizer. And he gives women superior rights. That's what this woman, I forgot her name, I'll think of it here in a second, you know, this lawyer woman back in 1976 when they were voting on the Equal Rights Amendment. And she said, hell, I don't want equal rights. I've already got superior rights. I'm a female. Girls, the females in Israel have superior rights to men. They're not the same rights, but they're superior too. Worth a hell of a lot more money. And this inheritance law is one of them. And this inheritance law is a part and parcel of this thing called marriage. Marriage. Proverbs 31 demonstrates that women not only own property independently from their husbands, that they buy land and utilize land. They practice strict property rights in Israel. And females own property in strict property rights. You girls have been conned into community property. So you go down and get a marriage license so you can participate in community property, so that the state can come in and take your property and your husband's property for his debts. Girls, you're not responsible for your husband's debts. He's responsible for your debts. What in the hell do you want community property for? So you can pay your husband's debts? What kind of nonsense is that? But, you know, you wanted a marriage license, and so now you got it. So now you too can practice the first plank to the Communist Manifesto. You can practice the abolition of all right to property in Israel. You got two chapters here that give it to you, and then you went off and got a marriage license and paid to have your rights destroyed. Well, now, I'm not here to second guess you and say, well, that was a mistake. Hell, I don't know if you people made a mistake or not. It would just seem like to me that if you had an inheritance, that you might want to take that inheritance for yourself, consume it upon your own lusts, and cut the United States government's death tax out altogether, it would seem like to me. That's what I want to do. I don't want to pay any inheritance tax. And if I was a female, I would want to inherit just like the boys do. And here are two chapters that give you that power, and you say, nope, nope, we don't want to inherit. No, sir, read Bob. We want to practice the first and fourth planks to the Communist Manifesto. We absolutely do not want to practice Numbers 27 or Numbers 36. So, okay, that's what you're doing. If you're happy with it, get after it. Now, for two or three of you girls out there that might be saying to yourself, well, say on here, Gordon, you pipe fitter, and tell us a little bit more. Okay, here's the bottom line. These girls are the sole heirs to a man who has a lot of wealth or property and no male heir. So they come under the inheritance statute, and a question arises, can a female inherit in Israel? And the answer is yes. And there's a statute in Exodus 21, and I think it's around verse 7. Let me see if I'm correct. I jotted some of these down. Let's see if I got it. Yeah, here's Exodus 21, verses 7 through 11, coupled with Numbers 27, Numbers 36, which deal with the inheritance law and guarantees you women out there your inheritance as opposed to community property. Now, you can't have both. I mean, you can't have community property and the inheritance. You can have the inheritance or community property. Now, if you're in a community property state, now, there are some states, Mississippi and Illinois are two, I think there's five, states that still practice strict property rights. Strict property rights. They still haven't adopted this communist fourth plank to the manifesto in their state statutes. The other states that practice community property have all adopted the fourth plank to the Communist Manifesto. And it's called the bride price and dowry. So I'm going to tell you what the bride price and the dowry is when we get to it. But I wanted to let you know that they had to marry within their tribe. That was the only thing. That if you were a Texas heiress, you had to marry another Texan to keep your inheritance in Texas, so that in the Jubilee it didn't get removed to Illinois. And you lose it. And it's taken away from you. It's to be passed on to your firstborn son, ladies, and then on to his firstborn son, and so on down the line. And you ladies ought to be teaching your children these laws. You know, God insists on education. And he insists on homeschool education. Did you know that? So when the state comes along and insists that your children be educated, they're not whistling Dixie. They got that right out of the law of Moses. But you have three ways to do it. Number one, God told you homeschool. The state came along and said, no, no homeschool. Put them in public school. Then there's this third alternative called parochial school. Now, you know, when Baal tells you that you better do this, you know, you got a choice to make. Are you ready to go into the fiery furnace or the lion's den, or are you going to knuckle under and disobey the God of Abraham and practice the law of your state. You're going to commit idolatry or not. These are choices for people to make. And most people choose idolatry. It's easier, faster, cheaper, and gives us instant gratification. But I want to point out that there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty, and at some point in time, there's going to be some penalties to pay. So tuck it away in your heart. So these are the two laws, non-marriage, in the Bible. You won't find any law that says, and now, dearly beloved, we are gathered together today. But you will find the duty of the husband's brother and the inheritance statute that requires you to marry within your own tribe. And in Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 4, you'll find a strict prohibition against marrying strange wives or girls marrying strange husbands outside of your race. And in some cases, even outside of your tribe. Not just your race, your tribe. Sometimes, when there's an inheritance involved, which doesn't happen very often, but it can happen. And when it does, then you have this duty, you know, like the duty of the husband's brother. You know, life has benefits and duties. Citizenship has benefits and duties and obligations. All right, so let's go on to the next topic over here. And we'll stretch a line between that dot and the next dot. Queen Elizabeth. So I'll tell you about Lizzie. Queen Elizabeth is a firstborn daughter, and she gets the inheritance because there's no firstborn son. So under Numbers 36 and Numbers 27, she has to perform this law by marrying within her tribe. So she married a Greek guy whose name is Mountbatten. It's true the guy had Greek citizenship, but you know it's true that there are Turkish people who left Turkey and went to Germany. And when they have children, their children are born in Germany and they're called Germans. Let me tell you a story here. Those Turkish people who were born in Germany, hey, they really aren't Germans. They're really Turks. And the reason I say that, it's genetic. And that's just the way life is. Now, there are people that are from Poland, and they're called Poles. And there's people, you know, from France, and they're called French. And George Gordon comes from Scotland, and he's Scot. And I can never be French, I can never be German, and I can never be Turk. It's impossible. Now, I could move to Turkey, and I could take up Turkish citizenship. I could have an adopted citizenship, which is like having an adopted child who could become an heir. I could become an heir in Turkey. And Turks move to Germany and they become heirs in Germany by becoming German citizens. Now God is a racist. I mean, this God, I can't speak for all the rest of these gods out here, but this God is a racist. He's very concerned about people's race. He got real concerned back in Genesis chapter 11 when he separated us all and he gave us our inheritance. And our inheritance is in the land. He's very, very plain about that. And he said, this is your inheritance in the land. And let the land not sin. And so he gave you Chinese people, China. And he gave you Japanese people, Japan. And he gave you Turks, Turkey, and so on down the line. He separated us, gave us our languages, confounded our language, what he did. And then he gave us our inheritance. Now, the white man's been going around the world over here spreading miscegenation, spreading interracial marriage, spreading colonization. So he went over to Africa and stole a bunch of you guys and brought them home. That was a crime. It's called man-stealing. And so the blacks are real upset about that, and they say, well, this dirty, rotten, white honky over here, why he enslaved us. Children, slavery is not against the law. Man-stealing is against the law. Now, oftentimes, you know, people, they get real, real excited, you know, and they're just really opposed to murder. And they call abortion murder. Children, abortion is not murder. Abortion is passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. It's a capital felony, but it's not murder. Murder is something else altogether. And so we've lost our language and lost our ability to communicate with one another. We call sodomites gay. Children, they're not gay. They're perverts. Let's wake up. Let's start learning how to speak English. So when we talk about inheritance, or we talk about bastards, or we talk about passing your seed through the fire to Moloch, you're talking about the English language. We used to have in English vocabulary meanings for these words. We didn't use word pervert and then misapply that to gay because Sally and Bob are having a gay time at the dance. We knew what perversion was. We don't anymore, but we used to. So what I'd like to suggest is that we learn once again how to speak English. So, Queen Elizabeth, who is the firstborn female heiress, didn't have a firstborn male brother, a new patriarch, and so she has to pass the Windsor line on to coming generations, and she's done it perfectly. She married this guy, Philip Mountbatten, who was an Israelite, who was from the tribe of Joseph, who was living in Greece, and she married him, a prince, and brought him back to England. And when she had children by this Prince Philip, she didn't take his name, which is Mountbatten. She's not known as Elizabeth Mountbatten. Her name is Elizabeth Windsor, and she kept her maiden name. Women do that today. They keep their maiden names, but they're not practicing Numbers 36. They're practicing some perversion. They're not doing this because they want to obey God and keep his commandments. And so then she named her name Windsor on her firstborn son. So we got Charlie Windsor over here. See, and then Charlie married a girl named Diane. And Diane, she had two boys. And one of those boys now is named Harry. Harry Windsor. But his grandmother's name was Windsor. And she married a guy named Mountbatten. And you'll see two examples of that in the genealogies of the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, I believe it is. And here you've got these two women that have practiced Numbers 36. Doesn't happen very often, but when it happens, then you pass the inheritance on to the next generation through marriage, but not with a marriage license. It's with agreement and penetration. You know, the time was when we used to record our children's births and our marriages and our deaths in our family Bibles, and we called those patriarchs, and those patriarchs kept family records. It's called patriarchal family. And today we've adopted the Communist Manifesto, and now we practice the state worship, the First Amendment bars state worship. To, you know, our God told us, you know, he said, you shall have no other gods before me. Don't you practice the law of the United States, France, and Germany ahead of me. Worship is the practice of the law in place of the law of God. So we practice marriage licenses instead of practicing patriarchal family. We practice idolatry. So the marriage license isn't a capital felony, but the idolatry is. So you went down, got a marriage license, committed a capital felony in the process, and then you wonder why it is the old man's ticked off at you. All right, so that's the bottom line to Queen Elizabeth. We're running out of time, so I'm going to have to cut it off here. We'll dot some more dots, and we'll stretch some more lines, and we'll connect some more of these dots. There's 42 of them. We've done about 15, maybe. So we're about half done. And we'll, next time we'll come back, and we'll take a look at this thing of marriage from the perspective of the Bible. And we'll take a look at what can we do to correct our errors. What do we do to recover as we proceed? All right, we're out of time. We'll have to leave it right there. Let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information, just go to our website at georgegordon.org. It's easy one, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time. Same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.